Good morning, precious people. Are you as glad to see me as I'm to see you? Hey, careful. Just let your faith know as well. It's good to see you this morning. Thank you for your faithful participation in the offering. As we said already, congratulations to Matthew in the second place for the last race of the year. But the behind-the-scenes stuff is that he crashed during practice. So the second place is good. But when you get up again to keep at it, that's when it really, really counts. So well done, my boy, Keep. We're just glad that you're safe. And then, Joe, happy birthday, my boot. Happy birthday to Joe. See, apparently he didn't want people to know, but I got connections. So happy birthday, my boot. God, where do we get together for the cake afterwards? The shaking is like, no. Jackie's Pub, yeah. So it's not just a run there. It's the Crocodilian Run, the annual Crocodilian Run. It's a fundraising exercise, and the funds go to Run for the Sun. It's the initiative of the Vereeniging Chapter, so we'd appreciate your support as far as that's concerned. $100 gives you breakfast and all sorts of stuff, and a portion of that goes towards the Run for the Sun project. Okay, good. Last week we were in Jazz. I know a lot of you didn't even notice, but we were away at the Faith Rally. We had a wonderful time of ministry down there, but it's good to be back. And thank you for your faithfulness in our absence anyway. This morning I'd like to speak about something very interesting when Jesus prayed in the garden before he got arrested. Now, there's a thing when some countries they do this when a person's on death row, they get an opportunity to order their last meal. And whatever the person wants, the people prepares. They prepare a meal for that person. And I've learned recently that in the state of Texas that happened. Somebody was on death row quite some time ago, and he ordered a long list of stuff. Like, it's like no one person would be able to eat that stuff. And they meticulously prepared all of the stuff for his last meal. And then when the food was prepared, he said, "Ach, no, thanks, today I'm not hungry." So, excuse me, as a result, you no longer can request the last meal in Texas because obviously somebody paid for that food. I'm sure the prison wardens enjoyed that meal. I mean, they had a problem with it. They would have just charred it. But anyway, this is Jesus in the garden before he gets arrested. And you heard of stories where people, they ask you, they say, if your house is burning down, what would you take? What would you save? So under those circumstances, people do things differently. Yes, Jesus is about to be arrested, and he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest. Today we're going to look at what Jesus prayed, what he prayed for, and why he prayed like that. So in John chapter 17 and verse 9, the title of this message is called, I Pray for You, and I Pray for You. John 17 and verse 9, Jesus says, my prayer is not for the world. Already that's got my attention. That's a little bit weird, Lord. Why are you not praying for the world? He came and died for everybody. He says, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me. Who's Jesus referring to when he says that? Who's he referring to? His disciples, the church, right? He knew the church was going to grow and the church is going to start. He says, for those you have given me, because they belong to you. And he goes on to pray specifically for his disciples. He makes a profound statement during this prayer, and he states that he's praying for believers and not for the world. And this isn't to say that he never prays for the lost. But this prayer in the garden is specific for his people and for his church. So, and Jesus from the right-hand side of God right now is forever praying for the church. He's not just enjoying the songs of the angels floating in the clouds playing harps, which some people think, but he's at the right hand of God forever praying for the church. Hebrews 7 and verse 25, it says, therefore he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Imagine that. He lives forever. So one day, once the rapture is taking place, the seven-year tribulation has taken place, once Jesus comes down to earth, we're going to reign with Jesus for 1,000 years in the millennial period. Then Satan's going to be brought out of hell once more, then he's going to be cast into hell again, and we're going to continue to reign. It says that Jesus forever lives to make intercession, to intercede, to stand in the gap, to pray on behalf of us. We get an idea of what's on God's heart by the things that Jesus prays for. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So things that Jesus prayed for in the garden before he got arrested. This is all from John 17. So just remember, he's realizing that his time for public ministry on earth has come and gone. He's about to be betrayed into the hands of the people. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be buried. He's going to be raised again from the dead. And these are the things that Jesus chooses to pray for. I'm going to list six things here, no particular order of importance. Number one, Jesus prays for us to be kept from evil. Why? He was aware that evil is present. You see, folks, when we get saved from the consequences of sin, not the presence of sin. We live in a world that the Bible says is under the sway, or in other words, under the control of the wicked one. You say, yeah, but God is in control of everything. The lives of those who've submitted themselves to him. But the Bible declares that Satan is the god of this age. He's the god of this age. He's the one, in terms of cricket, he's the one at the crease. He's the one that's busy batting right now. And Jesus prays to protect his people from the evil one. Because we are saved from the consequences of sin, not the presence of sin. In fact, take a guess where your born-again spirit lives. Inside a sinful body. Inside flesh that wants to sin all the time. Think about that. That's why none of you find it difficult not to sin, right? None of you have an issue struggling against sin, is it? You're all just plain sailing Christians that just go from strength to strength and from glory to glory, right? No. No. Every single day, the born-again spirit prompts you to, with your mind, make a decision to tell your flesh, flesh, shut up. I know you want this, but I'm going to choose to live like this. It's going to happen like that right up until Jesus comes to take us home. That's how it is. Okay, Jesus is not going to come take us home, but you understand what I'm saying. It's going to happen until we are with the Lord. So he prays for us to be kept from evil. In John 17 and verse 11, protect them by the power of your name. And in verse 15 of John 17, he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. It's so interesting that Jesus says that. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. You know, Lord, just pray for the storms to stop in my life. How many of you have prayed along those lines? Whereas God doesn't want the storms to stop in your life. He wants you to learn to find him in the midst of the storm. He wants you to learn to see him walking on the water towards the storm in your life. He wants you to learn to praise him in the midst of the storm. So we can learn to praise God in the good times and the difficult times. That's what he says. I don't want you to take them out of the world, Lord. Why? Because God wants us here to make a difference, to stay here. We're called to be light in the... So you want God, God use me. Guess what? He's going to bring circumstances and people across your path in life that are going to need the Jesus that is in you. That's it. You don't have to be able to preach like the angel Gabriel to be able to witness to somebody. I can't preach like the angel Gabriel, and yet God uses me. God can use you. He uses shy, withdrawn, introvert, quiet people like me to preach. Is it Isuini? You know, many years ago, we were hanging out with our school friends, and I don't know what it was recorded on. But we listened to a recording of a group of friends together, and all I heard was this big mouth in the background. Wada, 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 wada. Guess who it was? I felt so bad about it. Mozzie, can't you just woosah? Just settle a little bit. Just be quiet. And that used to bug me so much, and the devil accused me on that so much and for so long. Then one day I got a revelation from the Word. I think it's in Matthew 10:32. The Scripture says, if you deny me before men. I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my God in heaven. And God convinced me that, you know, son, I'll use that big loud mouth voice of yours all the time that talks so much. I'm going to use it somehow, somewhere to speak for me one day. And realize that God can even use that to bring glory to his name somehow. And you think, oh, well, you know, let me just say this to you this morning. Are you ready for us to get real this morning? Because we're family here, so we can be real with each other, isn't it? We can just be real with each other. You might think that you don't struggle with pride in your life. Say, okay, who's the first person that you look for in a group photo? Come on. You look for yourself in the group photo. What did I look like? What was my hair like? You know? You look for yourself in a group photo. You know? So, and these are things that we've got to deal with. Our pride in our lives. God says, no, Jesus, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want you to keep them strong against the devil in the world. That's what Jesus prays for. Point number two, he prays for unity of all believers as God and Christ are one. Somebody has once said that this is possibly, as of yet, the only prayer of Jesus that has not yet been answered. Because look how much division there is in the body of Christ. There's hierdie kerk and there's daai kerk, and there's nothing wrong with having different churches, but when people split up because of all sorts of silly things and there's no unity in the body of Christ, that's where the devil has a field day. Because all he wants to do is just bring division amongst us, you know? Get us to fight amongst each other for silly, stupid little things. And Jesus prays this in the garden. He prays for unity of all believers as God and Christ are one. In verse 21 of John 17, he says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. So being one, folks, get this, does not mean that we all always agree on everything all the time. But when it comes to the things of God, that we're in agreement with the things of God. We, you know, churches today disagree that if you don't have celebrate the Sabbath on this day, you're going to hell. Like, really? You know, if you don't do things in this way. So in other words, when differences come in the churches where your salvation is dependent on things that you do, folks, nothing we can do can earn our way into heaven. We can't earn our way into heaven. It's all about faith in Jesus Christ and faith with works. Okay? That's what Jesus is speaking about, that they may be one. The next thing that Jesus prays for is for the joy of Christ to be fulfilled in all believers. You know, I don't know about you, but if I was a seeker, where I was looking for answers in my life, a breakthrough, and I go to a church and I see that everybody's mislik. Nobody smiles. Nobody's laughing. Everybody's like all doom and gloom. I wouldn't want to be a part of that. I've got enough troubles and issues as it is in my life. I don't want to come and be part of, you know, a group of people that are just like so miserable and mislik, you know. And the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our strength in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. Says that the joy of our Lord is our strength. So Christ prays, he says that the joy of Christ is fulfilled in all believers. In verse 3 of John 17, he says, now I'm coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they could go and start religious organizations, so that they could go and build buildings in my name, so that they can bring out rules and regulations for people to obey and to comply. No, I told them these things. Why did Jesus tell us these things? To establish religion? No, folks. Religion was already here by the time Jesus got here. And he hated it. He hated it. He says, this is why I told them these things. I told them these things when I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. So that book called the Bible is not a book of rules and regulations to spoil your fun, so that you may be filled with joy. This is how Jesus prays in the garden. It's how he prays in the garden. He's not getting another opportunity to do this. And he prays for our joy to be filled. The next thing he prays for is sanctification or separation of believers for the full work of God, as he had been set apart for this work. So Jesus prays for us as well. We are in the world, but not of the world or part of the world. In other words, you're not sucked up in the system of the world and the things of the world, distracting you with so many things that you know what? You're so busy, and also the devil can very cleverly get you busy with the things of God that you have no time for the God of all things. You're so busy doing things for the Lord that you don't have that intimate, sweet, personal connection with Jesus. Folks, there is nothing like that in all of Christianity, that intimacy that you can have with Jesus. You know, when you start submitting your life to the Lord and become more and more obedient as you grow in discipleship, you realize that it's important to do things for the Lord, and you think, okay, I've got to achieve this and I've got to achieve that. If you, at the end of your Christian walk, or one day sitting on your rocking chair on the porch, and you're so old you can no longer swing your leg over a motorbike, you can hardly swing it into the bath, let alone over a motorbike, and you're on the rocking chair, and you haven't led a single person to the Lord, but you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, my brother, my sister, you've achieved your life's purpose. That's it. All the things that you do in the name of the Lord, disobey Sark, that's extra. That comes as a result of having an intimate relationship with the Lord. Worship, all these Christian activities is as a result of having a lifestyle of worship. And Jesus prays for that. He says that we are sanctified and separate. Verse 17 to 19 of John 17, he says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice, sanctified, okay, set apart for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. The next thing that Jesus prays for is for us to be with him. He's always wanted us to be with him. Point number five is to have reunion with Christ. In verse 24 of John 17, he says, Father, I want those whom you have given me to be with me where I am. You know, folks, Jesus didn't have to. Just picture the scene. He's about to be arrested and betrayed by people, and he still prays to be with those people. What kind of a God does that? What kind of a God does it? The very ones, I don't know about you, but when people have really, really, really done you in, you don't want to hang with them anymore. Hello? You don't want to be with them anymore. You unfriend them. You delete the number on your phone. It's grateful off, man. No, not this God. Not this God. The very ones who are going to betray him, deny him, even his disciples. No, Lord, we'll never leave you, forsake you. And yeah, they arrest Jesus. And what happens? They run. The others didn't even get a chance to get interrogated. Peter still hung around so that he could be interrogated. They asked him three times. Three times he denied Jesus. Folks, Jesus prays for those people. He says, I want to be with them, Lord. I want to be with them. What a God. What a God. And he says in verse 24, then they can all see the glory you gave me that's point number six. Verse 24, Father, I want those whom you have given me to be where I am. The next thing, point number six, is that he prays for us to see his glory. If people could know Jesus for who he really is, somebody has once said this, that if everybody knew what the dead know now, we'd all follow Jesus. If everybody knew what the dead know now, we'd all follow Jesus. Remember I shared with you folks that sign outside a cemetery. The sign outside the cemetery says, as you are now, so once were we. As we are now, so you will be. And sadly, folks, many, many people have ended up dying without having Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus wants us to be the ones through whom the world sees his glory. What does it mean for the world to see God's glory? Well, things like forgiveness. Things like reconciliation, things like going the extra mile, things like serving others, things like making a name for Jesus and not for yourself. That was one of the issues that God had when the people decided in the Bible, you see in the story of Babel, they want to make a tower. They said, let us build a tower. Let us make a name for ourselves. There's the problem. Making a name for ourselves instead of exalting the name of God. And then they wanted intimacy with God. They wanted to get to God their way instead of His way. God had a problem with that, and rightly so. So God wants to use people to show the world His glory. How do we show the world God's glory? Well, by showing love and acts of kindness towards people for whom it's impossible to pay you back. You see, it's one thing to lend and to loan when you know, okay, I'm going to want it back one day and with interest. But when you give and sow into other people's lives, for people, it's impossible for them to ever pay you back in any way whatsoever, either financially or in kind. That's when the world sees the glory of God. I've done things for people. They want to like, okay, what's the catch? Because normally there's always T's and C's apply. And when you show the love of Christ with no T's and C's, the world is like, huh? These are my friends, and they want to know more about it. That's when they see the glory of Jesus through you, my brother, my sister. Okay, so that's how Jesus prayed before He was arrested. Here are some things that we can pray for each other. What I've listed this morning is two prayers from the book of Ephesians that cover any and every area in our lives that we could possibly require intercession. I want to encourage you, if you want to pray scripture over people, pray these two passages of scripture. I want to encourage you to highlight it in your Bible and meditate on it, and also read it in different translations so God can fully color in this picture for you. And these are prayers from Ephesians. The first is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. And the next is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. I'm going to read it through, and then I'm going to break down what it is that we pray for. So Ephesians chapter 1 and from verse 16. I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called, His holy people, who are His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Quite a mouthful, but these are the things that are that we pray for each other. So you lift up somebody in prayer, and every place where it mentions you mention that person by name. So I'll pick on Joe today because it's his birthday. I pray for Joe constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give Joe spiritual wisdom and insight so that Joe might grow in his knowledge of you. Can you see how you personalize it? And folks, when you pray the word of God with faith, it is impossible for the hand of heaven not to move. It's so exciting. That's where the impossible happens. You pray the purity of God's word like this. So that passage, the first thing that's prayed for there is growth in knowledge of God. I say to you, if I say to you, what is eternal life? Think about that. What is eternal life? Lifetime with Jesus, everlasting life. What else? Just live on and on and on and on. Isn't it? You know what Jesus describes eternal life as? In this same prayer in the garden in John 17, He says, eternal life is to know you. That's eternal life, knowing God. So, that's this prayer. He says, we pray that we grow in the knowledge of God, that you grow in your eternal life in the knowledge of God. The next thing that is prayed for is that our hearts are flooded with light. Why? Because what kind of hearts do we have? Isn't it right, church? That's the kind of hearts we have? Well, okay, no, not you guys. People in other churches. Huh? But our hearts, that's it. So true, Diane. Our stubborn hearts. You're always like, and you know, you have like these seasons, these times in your life where you're doing everything right and it's like, hey, man. You know? You feel like you've got it together. And then before you know it, boom, we stumble and we fall. Why? Because we're weak. Okay, so the prayer is that our hearts get flooded with light. Get flooded with light, that there's no hidden things. And sometimes the power of sin is in its secrecy. When you haven't confessed something before the Lord and repented of it, the devil can accuse you. But when you repented of it, that's okay. I've done it. Jesus has forgiven me. That settles it, and I've moved on. The next thing that prays for is the understanding of hope. And I looked at this, I thought, Lord, why an understanding of hope? Because it's one thing to know what to hope for and what to hope in. But to have, why do you hope in that? To have an understanding of why you're hoping. So it's not just what to hope in, but why to hope in. To have an understanding. Why do we hope in Jesus? Why do we hope in the promise of the Scriptures? Why do we hope in answered prayers? Why do we hope in the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit? Why do we hope in the return of Jesus and the fulfillment of the rest of the unfulfilled prophecies? So for an understanding of hope, these are the things that are prayed for in this passage of Scripture. And then an understanding of God's power. An understanding of God's power will never leave us wondering, sure, God, can you get me out of this? God, will my children ever be saved one day if you're a parent praying for the salvation of your kids? Or if you're a youngster praying for the salvation of your parents, Lord, will my mom and dad ever come to know you like I know you? Or an understanding of God's power. You're praying for anything. Understand that this is God. This God can do anything. The next passage of Scripture, Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19. And when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. That Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. That your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And that you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. That you may experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So what is prayed in this passage? The first thing is to be empowered with inner strength. There are times when we are just so sick and tired of being sick and tired. We're tired of keeping on, keeping on. We just want to throw in the towel. You come back from holiday and you're tired. Anybody can relate to what I'm saying? Because it's been, this has happened on holiday and this didn't go right and that went wrong. And it's just, you come back from holiday and it's like not even 10 o'clock in the morning on day one back at work and you wish you were back at the sea or in the bushveld or wherever you were. Praying for inner strength, that's what's prayed for. That He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. The next thing, for Christ to make His home in our hearts. And in typing this message, I thought, we as Christians, and we do it all the time. Lord, we just invite You into this place. But God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So imagine Christ making His home in your heart. Wherever you are, the presence of Christ can be seen in your eyes. Can be seen in your actions, the way you speak to people, the way you respond when people speak to you, the way when enemies curse you and revile you. Remember when they brought and threw all the accusations at Jesus, how He answered each one of them and put them all on their place, right? Just stood there. Just kept quiet. You see, truth doesn't need to defend itself. Truth will speak up for itself. Truth will speak up for itself. You know? And I think, sometimes when people, like, they blaspheme the Lord and stuff like that, when the Holy Spirit leads you, speak up and share the love with people. We don't have to defend Jesus or stand up for the truth. The truth will speak up for itself. So the prayer is to make Christ in our homes, verse 17, that Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. The next thing is that our roots are deep in God's love, keeping us strong. That our roots are deep. You see, a mushroom has no ability to stand against the storm, because you go to sleep at night and there's nothing in the garden. You wake up and there's little champions. Sampiuna, ne? They got no deep roots. They just can't stand the test of time or stand struggles. But when something has deep roots, the storms can come. Animals find shelter in trees that have deep roots. And we've said before, the most skilled sailors in the world do not develop their skills to pilot a ship and to skipper a ship in calm waters. They do it in storms, in the roughest of seas. They get the skills to skipper those ships. So the prayer is for our roots to be deep in God's love, keeping us strong. And then the power to understand God's love. To understand God's love is to understand God when we don't understand him. Lord, I don't understand why you're doing these things, you know. But the Bible doesn't call us to understanding first. It calls us to faith first. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith we understand. By understanding we have faith. No, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by God's spoken word. So faith comes first, and then as we grow and as we can handle it, God will give us the understanding. So the prayer is for understanding God's love. And then last but by no means least, for us to experience Christ's love personally, firsthand. Not just his general love for the church as a whole, but his church for each and every single one of you individually. He's the God of all, but he's also the God of the individual. Imagine a God, the God who says, the Bible says, he's inscribed your name on the palms of his hands. Imagine that. I don't know, it's been guesstimated how many times we see the palm of our hands in a day. God, I mean, he could have inscribed your name. I'm not saying God is a tattoo, so just be with me, bear with me, okay? All right, I'm also not saying that if you're tattooed, you're going to hell, all right? Just get a grip. But he could have put your name on the back of his neck or on his back. No. Where's your name inscribed? Every hair on your head is numbered. Okay? For some of us, it's easy for God to number all of our hairs because we only got six. Every hair on your head is numbered. It's been estimated that the average human being loses between 80 and 100 body hairs all over a day. All of your hairs are numbered. Every single tear you've cried is caught in a jar. And the scripture says he's, in Psalm 130, his mind full of you. His mind is full of you. He's not concerned, he's not mindful of the interest rate in wherever, or what the petrol price is going to be come end of October. Oh Lord, prepare us for that. Dear Lord, prepare us for that. His mind full of you. You occupy his thoughts. You take up a priority in his day. You consist of the bulk, his plans. It's you, you, you. What a God. And for us to experience that love personally. That's what these prayers are for, brothers and sisters. So as I close this thing, in conclusion, we can use these prayers, the prayers of Jesus in the garden, the prayer of Jesus in the garden in John 17, before he gets arrested. These two prayers from Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, we can use as a guideline. And also remember how Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, the Our Father, known as the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you pray, before that, he says, don't pray like this. Some people pray, they think if they pray the same thing over and over and over and that people can hear, their prayers are going to carry more weight. He says, no, this is how I want you to pray. Our Father, and he goes down. He breaks down that prayer. So use that as a guideline, the Lord's Prayer. And ultimately, folks, I want to close off by saying this. Ultimately, our prayer must always be led by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because how many of you, and just be honest, I think you've got a certain amount of experience when it comes to prayer. Don't be shy. It's what, like 3-4 people? Come on, man. You've got experience when it comes to praying for things, right? Because you've gone through some stuff in your life and you've had to pray. Well, whether you've never prayed in front of anybody before or publicly, in here, I cannot do next to scum. That's fine. You don't have to be a loudmouth to pray. Or whether you pray that the rocks rattle and the ground trembles. No matter what kind of prayer you are, you know what the Bible says about our praying? It says that we don't know what to pray for. The Bible says we don't know what to pray for. So where do you get that, Mozzie? Romans 8 and verse 26. And the Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Simple. So I can give you 1 minute, 60 seconds. You can pray for your lifiki, your vaifiki, your skataboliki. You can pray for your kids, mom, dad, parents, relatives. You can pray for your health. You can pray for finances, pray for protection, pray for safety, pray for peace, pray for South Africa, pray for the leaders, pray for the pastor, please. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. And I've got like 30 seconds left. Wat en waarvoor bid ons dan? Dis dan wanneer jy moet toelaat dat die Heilige Gees jou lei in die hemelse taal wat die Here vir jou gegee het. Die Heilige Gees jou lei om te bid. That's how we pray. So church, I share this with you this morning to say, I pray for you. These are the things I pray for you. These are the things. And you put your name in here this morning. I pray for growth in your knowledge of God, that your hearts are flooded with light. I pray for an understanding of hope and an understanding of God's power. I pray that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit with inner strength. I pray that Christ makes his home in your heart. I pray that your roots grow deep in God's love to keep you strong. I pray for an understanding to understand God's love. And I pray for you to experience Christ's love personally in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Church of Jesus Christ, thank you for making the time to listen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Have an awesome week. God bless you.